All right, if you're joining us at home or if you have not been with us for the last couple of weeks, we have been on a series. The series is called The Magnificent Seven. This is not a gunslinger movie. This is the seven magnificent sayings that Jesus said about himself. And the reference there has to do with the fact that Jesus actually said, and I brought this to you in the beginning of this month, I said that Jesus actually said he was the bread of life. Mm-hmm. He said that he was the door. And when we understand that he is telling us something about himself, and I believe that we need to take notice and apply what he is revealing about himself to us as believers, New Testament believers, there is something very, very special about us studying the Word of God, and the Word of God actually reveals more of who God is. And here at this church, we desire you to know God and to know him deeper than you did yesterday, last week, last year, and that we are growing in the things of God, that our faith is not stale, that our faith is not just from bygone days of in the good old days, but that our faith is living, active, breathing even now. And to understand some of these things, we need to go to the Word of God and get that fresh Word from God that actually rejuvenates us, brings a lift to us, and takes us to a higher place in God. I believe that as we grow, each one of us will get stronger in the things of God, knowing God better as our Father. Jesus himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you know what Jesus is like, then you know what God's like. And you start to understand some things. It'll give your heart confidence before God so that when you do pray, you will find that you will have much more confidence. You're not going to be wondering, is God going to be listening to me? Because you'll understand his good, amazing, magnificent nature. Amen. That when he said, I am the bread of life, he was saying, I'm your sustenance. I'm your nourishment. I'm everything you need. When he said, I'm the door, I'm the beginning point, I'm the starting point of everything. And then he used the phrase, which was not uncommon for them, he said, I am the good shepherd. Now, he could have just said, I'm a shepherd. Mm-hmm. He could have just said that. But instead, he said, I am the good shepherd. And in the Greek language, it's an actual article that says, I am the good shepherd. It is a very specific, almost like a title. So he's revealing himself, saying, I am the good shepherd, as opposed to just any shepherd. But I'm the one who is good. I am the one who is good all the time. And back in the late 80s and 90s, people would come into church services and they would say, God is good! And the congregation would respond, all the time. And then the pastor or somebody on the platform might say, all the time! And then everybody else would say, God is good, because he is. Oral Roberts used to say this, and I had a chance to be in some of those meetings where I was there, and he would say, God is a good God, and the devil's a bad devil. That's what he would say. And when he started saying that God was a good God back in the 1940s and 50s, there were some Christian believers who got mad at him. They actually got mad at him. How can you say that? He said, you need to read your Bible.
That's right.
You need to read your Bible because God is good, and he's good all the time. So today I want to talk to you about the Good Shepherd. I want to talk to you about the fact that when Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd, the actual Greek structure is not just, oh, I'm going to give you an article and a title. The structure of the language is not the same as the English language. And for those of you that are bilingual or trilingual, and I know we have several in our congregation that are, I want you to know that where the verb goes in the sentence and where the subject goes in the sentence, with the ancient Greek language, it can be a little bit different. But in a sense, the Greek was saying, I am the shepherd of shepherds, and I'm the good one. That's almost the exact translation. I am the shepherd of shepherds, and I'm the good one. With the definite article of the. So it is, I am the shepherd of shepherds. And oh, by the way, I'm the good one. And he contrasts that with John 10:10 when it says, the thief comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it to the full, or they might have it abundant. And Jesus is speaking in the context of an agrarian society. Now, for a short time, Pastor Christine and I lived in the British Virgin Islands. We lived on Virgin Gorda. Now, Virgin Gorda is an island of about 3,000 inhabitants, and there are more sheep and goats on Virgin Gorda than there are people. And it's a true thing. And so, because there's really not much that grows there other than tourism and some big rocks sticking out of the ocean. So there's really not much going on there. There's actually a desert in between two towns that's on the mountaintop. It's a very interesting place. And one day we didn't have a car and we were broke. We were absolutely broke missionaries. And we were there, and I was Pastor Christine goes, yeah, that was true. So we were there, and we did not have a car, and I needed to go pick up some groceries. And can I just say, it was hot, very hot, and very sticky and humid, and it was the height of, if you will, the hurricane season. We didn't endure any hurricanes, thank God, while we were there, but it was hot and sticky and not much breeze going on. And Pastor Christine was like, could you just go to the store? I've got to just sit in the cool. Our apartment was nicknamed by the pastor that was overseeing us, the Pressure Cooker. Because it was an apartment that was upstairs with no breeze, next to where they burned the garbage, the town dump. Yes, that is where we live. And she said, I've got to get in the shade somewhere and turn a fan on. And would you please go get us some things at the grocery store? So I did. And I'm hitchhiking. Now, in the BVI, British Virgin Islands, you don't hitchhike with your thumb like you do here. You hitchhike with your index finger scolding the ground, down at the ground, and you just keep. And I'm like, I mean, you could have wrung every piece of clothes. It looked like I just dove in the ocean and I had not been swimming. And I'm just like this, and I'm hoping that somebody is going to give me a ride. Now, there's a handful of cars on the island. Everybody knows everybody on the island, especially during the off season. And the Minister of Agriculture pulls up. Now, he is watching over all of the flocks at the British Virgin Islands, watching over all of them, making sure that they're healthy, that they're well, so that when they harvest the mutton for eating, that the meat would be healthy, everything was healthy. He was looking over everything. It was almost like he was a shepherd. And he was so attentive to detail. And there's a reason why I'm telling you this story, that he rolled down his window. And he says, I'll give you a ride, man. I get in. The outside had the crest of the government of the British Virgin Islands. I'm thinking, I hope I'm doing okay here. I'm an American. I'm here on a visa, and I'm hoping that everything's okay. And he looked at me, and I said, sir, I live, and you can take me. And he stopped me, and he said, oh, I know exactly where you live. He said, we know everything about you. And I was like, he goes, you're helping to get that church started underneath the circus tent, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, and you live in the Grenadian yard, don't you? I said, yes. And he said, and you're working with Bishop Ishmael Charles, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. He says, I know exactly where you live. He says, I can take you there. And he drove me there. But what struck me with this gentleman is that he had that understanding where he was very aware of what was going on. He was overseeing all of the goats and the sheep on that island. Now, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. So in order to understand Jesus as the good shepherd, I think we need to understand a few things about sheep. And ostensibly us. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to learn some things about me. Because God created people in his image, and he often refers to us as sheep. In fact, there are over 100 biblical references, both in the Old and New Testament, that we are referred as sheep. Now, I have been guilty of this, and you have probably heard preachers guilty of this, and they'll say that sheep are dumb animals. Anybody ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Anybody?
Yeah.
Am I the only one? Okay, all right. Well, I found out that sheep really aren't dumb. They're not. God's not calling us dumb by calling us sheep. He just understands the nature of sheep. Mm-hmm. And when you understand the nature of sheep, it helps you understand how you fit into God's plan and how you can know God better. We're talking about the magnificent seven sayings of Jesus when he says, I am the good shepherd. In other words, I'm the shepherd of shepherds and I'm the good one. Remember? So a couple of things that I just want to just kind of just highlight a couple of things about sheep. First of all, I'm going to mention a positive characteristic of sheep. But I'm going to mention how on the flip side of that positive part, there's a double-edged sword. There is something that it could be negative, right? So I'm going to mention the first one. The first one is sheep have amazing long-term memory. They remember things. Who knew? I didn't know. They remember things. They can recognize and remember faces and other sheep and human beings for years and years and years. Now, that's a positive thing when you're training a sheep, right? That's a positive thing. But what's the negative side? Well, people like sheep have trouble forgetting hurts, bad experiences. And it makes them shy to do something again. Yeah. Maybe you can relate to some of these traits. Social learning. Here's a positive benefit about sheep. Sheep can learn from observing behavior of other sheep. Demonstrating a level of social intelligence. See, they're not as dumb as we have always said. Right? And they can follow the lead of an experienced sheepfold member to find food and to even navigate the environment. Now, what's the negative side? Well, they can easily follow each other into a ditch. They can get off track. They can get scattered or caught in negative experiences. We see this throughout human history with us, don't we? Following the wrong leader. Am I right?
Yeah, sure.
The crowd mentality. Mm-hmm. There are reasons why there are laws put into place that you are not allowed to yell fire in a crowded movie theater unless there really is a fire. Mm-hmm. Because we're social beings, just like sheep. Mm-hmm. We respond both in fear, which is a negative, but we can also respond in the positive. That's why you can go to a ball game, and when your favorite team is winning, it just seems easy to cheer for them. You know, when the Yankees are up, I mean, that stadium just comes alive, doesn't it? Now, maybe you're not a Yankee fan, so don't grumble at me today. All right, maybe you're a Met fan, okay? But regardless, the crowd mentality takes shape. So there is a positive and a negative regarding our social learning. Problem solving. This is a positive. Sheep can learn to navigate mazes, perform tasks that involve problem solving, and associative learning. The Sight and Sound Theaters over in Lancaster, PA, when they presented the stage theatrical production of David, had over 30 trained sheep. Now, the reason why we know that is because our daughter, for a time, worked and went to school at Sight and Sound. And those sheep were actually very, very smart. They would run a pattern on the stage, not even with a vocal cue. They didn't even have to hear a voice. They just had to see. One of the leader sheep, had to just see a hand movement. And when they saw the hand movement, all 30 of them would go and do exactly what they were trained to do. What is that? That's a positive thing. They can actually do some really cool things. They can problem solve. They can learn to do things. What's the negative side? Well, the negative side is sheep sometimes have trouble making good decisions. Sometimes they make bad decisions. Have you ever made a bad decision in here?
Mm-hmm.
One that you regretted?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, I should have never said that. I should have never done that. I should have never bought that. Come on, people. Anybody in here?
Yeah.
You're like, why did I buy that?
Yeah.
You know, and it sits there. How many people have actually had to pay somebody to haul away the treadmill? Right? We had good intentions, but sometimes we have trouble making wise decisions or good decisions. That's where we need some help. Aren't you glad that God gives us an answer and gives us help?
Yes.
Praise God. He gives us help. And so those are some of the positive and negative things. And then also, one of the other interesting things is that sheep can differentiate. Now listen to this. They can differentiate between emotional expressions in their peers. What do you mean? They can actually read emotions. You know how you can see a friend or a coworker and see that they're just not quite themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're a little down, right? And what do? You kind of go over and say, hey, everything okay?
Yeah.
You all right? Can I pray for you? Can I help you? As believers, that's what we should be doing, right?
Yes.
We should be reaching out to them that say, hey, are you okay? Is there something I can do for you? Several years ago, one of my managers just looked terribly wrecked in the job that I worked. And he normally was this confident, you know, kind of like really bold and really like tough guy image, you know? And I mean, he had the, you know, the shaved head and the, and he had tattoos, and he was confident, and he was the leader of the store. And I remember one day I saw him, and he just didn't look quite right. And I said to him, I said, hey, is everything okay? And he looked at me and he said, I'm going through a horrible divorce with my wife and my two kids. Just heart-wrenching. So what did I just said, guess what? Can I pray for you? What did I do? I boldly stepped out. Sheep have the ability to emotionally connect with one another. To emotionally connect. If sheep can do that, how much more can we as human beings do that?
Right.
That we can connect when somebody is not doing well, when somebody's a little bit down. Doesn't the word tell us that we rejoice with those who rejoice, right? And we weep with those who weep. We sit in there, both their joy and their pain. That's the beauty of being a part of a local church.
Okay.
That we know each other.
Yes.
And that when we're going through something, we're there for each other. That's knowing God as our Father and knowing Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Amen?
Yes.
So the negative side of being able to connect emotionally like that is that when sheep sense fear, it can literally cause them to scatter when they sense fear in one or two. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was listening to, in preparation for today's message, I was listening to a gentleman talk about the experience he had with a shepherd. He went into the middle, and in the middle of a sheepfold, in the middle of a sheep pasture, and he set up a little table, and he set up a stool, and he said, the sheep kept their distance, and they made a perfect circle around him.
Wow.
And kept their distance. They wouldn't come near him. And so he asked the shepherd, he said, why are they doing this? The shepherd looked at the man and he said, they don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know you. And they were ready to bolt in any second. They were not lying down. They were ready to run in all different directions. And as soon as the shepherd walked into the middle of the circle, all the sheep came. And many of them just lay down. Because the shepherd was there. I want to tell you, whatever you're going through today, the shepherd's there. And you can be at rest. And so we see that sheep have very similar characteristics as us. They're not stupid animals. They just have characteristics that when the enemy tries to get us off track, he will get us off track in some of these arenas. He'll get us off track in the area of fear.
Yeah.
He will get us off track in the area of making a bad decision. He'll get us off track, just by, us being kind of curious. You've heard curiosity killed the cat? Well, I think curiosity is one of the things that gets us human beings into great difficulty sometimes. We're curious about things that we were told to stay away from, but we're curious about it. And before long, it becomes a trap for us. That's how people don't start out one day and wake up and say, I want to be addicted. They don't. That is not what happens. But what are they? The curiosity. And then that curiosity puts them into a bad place. Aren't you glad that with God, you can be free?
Yes, thank you.
You
Lord.
Can be free.
Thank you, Lord.
You can be free. Hallelujah. You see, at this church, we not only want you to know God, but we want you to find freedom.
Mm.
We want you to find freedom. And the best place to find freedom is through a relationship with the good shepherd.
Amen.
The shepherd of all shepherds.
Yes.
The good one.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
That's the one that we want to have that relationship with. Another characteristic is they communicate through language. They communicate through body language, through visual cues. They have a social structure. They stay together to a degree, but the enemy will always come and try to scatter them. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul said that we need to gather together. Why? Because we find strength in gathering together. In fact, the early church, they would come together. In fact, it said that they would come into their own company and they would tell all the things that happened to them. Isn't it great to have a community of faith that you tell what your week was like? Oh man, the Lord really helped me. The Lord helped me get through this one.
Amen.
You know, I know that sometimes I'll see Miss Brenda, and Miss Brenda will say, can I tell you something? And she'll tell me about how God did something in her life or had a conversation with somebody. That blesses me. What does that do? That lifts the whole group. Because we're in relationship with each other. So I want to remind you today, not only are those characteristics of sheep and people like us, and thank God we have a good shepherd, the shepherd of all shepherds, the good one. Amen. Amen. But I want to remind you that you're valuable. I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to say, you are valuable.
You are valuable.
You are valuable.
Amen.
You're valuable. Why do I know that? Why do I know that we're valuable? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, he says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that was lost, the one that is strayed? Turn to your neighbor again. Look him right in the eye and say, you are valuable.
You
God values you. And you say, well, you might say, well, Pastor, you know, I've lived most of my life and I've made so many mistakes. I'm really not that valuable. You might feel that way. I want to tell you today, that's a lie from the enemy. It doesn't matter what stage you're in. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. You are valuable to the Good Shepherd. You are valuable. For him to say, just casually, that to be a regular shepherd, you might leave 99 to go after the one. Why? Because sheep are valuable. They are valuable in the shepherd's eyes if you were a natural sheep. But as a spiritual sheep, you are that much more valuable. Jesus gave his blood for you. You are valuable. The other thing I know about sheep is sheep often get lost. In fact, Isaiah 53 says this, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him, speaking of Jesus, the iniquity of us all. We go our own way if it wasn't for Jesus. We go our own way if it wasn't for the Good Shepherd. And that's something to remind ourselves, that we're valuable, but we could go our own way if we let ourselves. Sometimes we as believers will maybe look up to a particular minister or ministry, and then we find out that something really bad happened. Or maybe if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you heard about, you know, a minister who fell into sin, or a church leader or a speaker or different ones who did something really terrible. And what we do is we kind of go, oh, that's terrible. I wonder if they were even ever a Christian. We say those things. But in reality, isn't it true that if left to our own devices, we will go our own way? Without the Lord, we will kind of go and be curious. We will kind of get off the beaten path and go try to find our own way. But aren't you glad that there's a good shepherd who knows his sheep, and he can call your name, and he knows your name, and he knows the hair, how many hair you have on your head. He knows you. I want you to look at that neighbor again. I want you to say, hey, he knows you.
He knows you.
And he loves you. Amen. 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 The other thing that we know about sheep is that sheep are defenseless. They are defenseless. In fact, you know, Jesus, you know, he talked about, he looked out over Jerusalem and he said they looked like sheep with no shepherd. In Ezekiel, it says this, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. So sheep don't have any natural defenses. They get lost. They're also independent. I'm sorry, not independent. They're dependent. Excuse me, dependent. And why do we know that? Turn with me to the 23rd Psalm as we start to wind this up on Jesus being our good shepherd. The 23rd Psalm in the New King James Version. It says this, and you have probably learned maybe at an early age, if you ever went to church growing up, you probably learned the 23rd Psalm. It's a wonderful psalm. We usually recite it at funerals, and I always scratch my head because it really is not a song for the dead. It's a song for the living.
Yeah.
It's a song for the living. And when we look at this, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, what a powerful song. Don't let the words just glide by when you read it, because I want to tell you there are some amazing truths about Jesus, our good shepherd. In fact, the names of God that are revealed all through the Old Testament, one of them is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. He is the shepherd of our souls. When it says Jehovah Rohi, he's my shepherd. I have no want. In other words, he takes care of me.
Yes, amen.
He takes care of me. Even when I think that I have to worry and fret and be all tense in my shoulders, I don't know about you, I'll speak for me. My shoulders get tense like this. And they scrunch up. And then I'm breathing really shallow. Right? When I get stressed. How about you?
Yes.
You know, when sheep are on alert, they're sort of like that too, tense, ready to bolt at any second. But remember my story when the shepherd walked in? What did the sheep do? They lay down. Sheep don't naturally lay down unless the shepherd is nearby. Why? Because the shepherd, he leads, he guides, he takes them to good feeding, he takes them to quiet waters so that they don't have to even be afraid of the water. They can drink without fear. They can eat without fear. Their soul is restored. He leads me in the right paths that are not crooked, that are not filled with danger, but he takes me through the path of righteousness. And notice what it says. Even though I walk through the valley, notice what it said, the shadow of death. It didn't say that you're walking through death. That's why when I say this is a psalm for the living, this is for us. This is for Jehovah Rohi. Jesus is our good shepherd, the shepherd of all shepherds, the good one. This is the one who leads us into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I walk through that valley. There might be death all around me, the shadow of death, even the smell of death, but I walk through it. And notice what it says. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Now, I didn't have a chance to get a real shepherd's staff. But what I do have here is I have a stick that we use as a walking stick. Now, a shepherd's staff has a crook in it. Some of them are very fancy. And they've been made and carved and they've been formed and fashioned and then, you know, and some of them are very primitive. If you've ever seen some, maybe in another country like Africa or Haiti or some of these more impoverished places on the earth, they just take a branch that has a crook in it. So the hook actually has a purpose. The rod and the staff comfort me because that hook, when the sheep is in trouble, the shepherd is able to pull the sheep to safety. The shepherd is able, on one side it's pointed, to protect the sheep from the wild animals, to actually guard and to, you know, get rid of the wolves, get rid of the animals that might be coming to eat the sheep. See, God gives us a beautiful picture of what Jesus does for us. He's our protector. He is the one that when we do fall, when we are curious and get ourselves in trouble, anybody in here can identify. When we make that bad decision, what does Jesus do? He's got the shepherd's staff, and he's able to pull us to safety. That's why his rod and his staff can bring comfort to us. Because when we find ourselves where we shouldn't be, he's able to bring us out every single time. And notice what it says there. It says, and he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's kind of an odd saying. But think of this. Again, we're talking about shepherd language. The shepherd comes to feed the sheep. There might even be wolves in the foreground waiting. But as long as the shepherd is there and he sets the food out, the sheep can eat in peace, even if there is a pack of wolves all the way around, because those sheep know that the shepherd's there. And they know that they're safe. So they'll eat and they'll drink and they'll lie down, a place of rest. I want to challenge you to just remind yourself this week that Jesus is the good shepherd. That in the presence of whatever difficulty you're going through right now, he is there. His rod and his staff are comforting you because they are protecting you. They are bringing you to a place of provision, a place of still waters, a place where you can feed and have rest. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And then it says, my cup runs over. In other words, I am amply supplied. I have everything I need because the shepherd's here. Just say that out loud. Say, the shepherd's here. So whatever I need, it's here for me. Oh, church. Some of you need to get a hold of that for healing. Some of you need to get a hold of that for provision in your life, that he is here. He's here. It doesn't matter what the enemy's threats are. Doesn't matter what the enemy's doing on the outside. It's what God's doing on the inside. Amen? It's what he's doing on the inside. It says, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy. Oh, wait, we missed one. Hang on. You anoint my head with oil. Let's talk about that just for a second. I thought, what does that mean? You anoint my head with oil. Well, the word anoint in the Old Testament is to smear, is to rub, is to totally consume, smear, rub on something. Shepherds actually will anoint sheep's head with a salve, an oil that has some herbs and some things that keep the pests away. They keep the flies away. They keep the flies from laying eggs in openings on the sheep's head that eventually will drive the sheep crazy. So instead of that, the shepherd cares and he puts the anointing on the sheep's head. What does the head represent? Our thought life, our thinking. Allow the Holy Spirit to anoint your mind so that it actually repels, like bug repellent, the things the enemy wants to plant in your mind. The things that are not true. The deceptions of the world. The lure of the world that would get you off track or get something on the inside of your head that doesn't need to be there. Aren't you glad we have a good shepherd? He anoints your head with oil. Amen. Amen. Let's just stop right now. Let's ask God, the good, great shepherd, the shepherd of all shepherds, the good one, just to anoint each one of us in our head in our minds, in our thought life. Can we do that right now? Go ahead and touch your head. Close your eyes. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, anoint. Anoint our head to think on things that are lovely, of good report, to repel the thoughts, the suggestions, the wrong philosophies that try to come into our mind to get us off of the track that you have us on, off of the path of righteousness. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And it says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Matthew 9:36, as I referenced earlier, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were weary, scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Aren't you glad we have a shepherd today? Aren't you glad that we have the good shepherd, the shepherd of all shepherds, the good one? And he is watching over us, his word, to perform it. So this week, I want you to remind yourself, I have a good shepherd. If you need to just talk to yourself, look at yourself in the mirror when you wake up tomorrow morning. Just kind of talk to yourself. The Bible tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord when he was getting downcast, when he was getting maybe hit from all different sides. You know, this week, I had some challenges this week. I just had some things that I overcame in Jesus' name. And it wasn't easy. But I got to tell you, when I shut in with God, as Sister Valley says, I love that. That's a good phrase. I like that one. And that is when you shut in with God, and for me, sometimes it's when I'm driving. It's when I'm driving, and I just start talking to myself. Start opening my mouth. And you're like, I don't feel like opening my mouth. Your body may not feel like it, but you start opening your mouth, and you start praising. You start saying, I praise you, Lord. And it might just start out that way. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. But your mind has got all these thoughts. But then you remember, wait a second. My head has been anointed with oil. The fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. It's repelling all of those thoughts, all of those seed thoughts that are against the knowledge and the will of God. That's the New Testament believer. Casting down those imaginations. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Lifting up the name of Jesus. And saying, Lord, you're my great shepherd. I just give you praise. I just give you praise. I found myself, and I think our youth and led us in this several months ago. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I started saying that. And then by the time I just spent a little time doing that, I found that I was lifted up out of the temptation to just kind of look over into the pit. Anybody?
Yeah.
Anybody have that temptation sometimes? Yeah. You look over into the pit? It just, I don't know what it is about human nature. We just look over into that pit and say, I'm not going to stay there long. But you just want to just kind of put your foot over there. And then you start to say, oh yeah, that's really bad. And the enemy just kind of just piles on those thoughts, right? You got to step out of that pit. Know that the good shepherd has his staff that comforts you. Why is it comfort? Because he can pull you back and get your attention and say, hey, I've got this. Notice all your brothers and sisters. What are they doing? Lying down in the middle of the enemy, surrounding them, being fed in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads right now. Thank God for the word of God being preached today. Hallelujah. Praise God. With every head bowed, every eye closed right now. If you're here today and you've never really, really truly known Jesus as the Good Shepherd, you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, it's just really easy to let him be your shepherd. Really easy. The Bible tells us that we must be born again. And the Word of God tells us that if we believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for our sins, that He was raised from the dead for us, and we receive that by faith and call Jesus our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we'll be saved. We call Him our Lord and Savior. And so if you're here right now with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you have never asked Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to ask Jesus into my life. Is there anybody at all that would say, I need Jesus in my life? Praise God. If you're here and you need to recommit your life to Him, you've gone your own way, and today the shepherd's staff just kind of gently pulled you into His presence, and you need to recommit your life to Him. Would you raise up your hand and say, that's me, and I want to pray for you. Is there anybody at all? They say, I want to come back to God. Is there anybody? Praise God. We're just going to wait for a moment. Praise God. Amen. If you wanted to raise your hand, or if you're watching online and you are coming back to God, or you're coming to God for the first time, we're going to pray a simple prayer out loud. I'd like you all just to pray it out loud together. Just follow this prayer with me out loud. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe
in my heart
that Jesus is the Son of God. That He died for my sins. That He was raised from the dead.
For me.
I receive his forgiveness
by faith.
And I call Jesus my Lord and my Savior from this day on. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or it was an act of rededication, we would like to know about it. Please message us through the Facebook Messenger app. We'd like to send you some things, help you in your walk with God. At the end of service today, I'm going to be available to pray for anybody who might need special prayer. Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, as the Holy Ghost gives you utterance. I want to pray for you. If you need healing, if you need something from God, I want to be able to pray for you. And so I'm just going to hang out a little bit after we dismiss our service. And thank you so much for watching online, and thank you, all of you who've been attentive as I have presented the seven magnificent sayings. I call them the Magnificent Seven, and those seven sayings have impact for our life. Amen? Let's stand to our feet right now. We have our sending out verse. Let's just all say it together out loud with our mouths. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. We will see you next time.